Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
How many of y'all know that we ought to have fun in church? Most of you. We should. Like, God's like the happiest person ever, and whenever we come over to his house, he should have a lot of fun. And so I'm glad that we can in this place, that it's not too, I don't know, something, but it's not too much of that, so we can have a little bit of fun. We are going to jump into a series on some basic Christian theology beliefs. And whenever I say basic, these are the tenets of our faith that all Christians would profess that they believe. Basic in the sense that this is like the basics and the foundations. Not basic in the sense that they are simple or that they are super easy for everyone to understand, but we're going to try to expound upon them a little bit today. We've got three main sources that I'm pulling this stuff from. Number one, it's the Bible, all right? Thank God for that. That's going to be our number one source. Number two is this little guy right here. This is Systematic Theology by Wayne Grudem. It's about 1,300 pages, just a light, easy read, maybe this afternoon if anybody wants to pick that one up. However, Wayne Grudem said nobody's going to read that, so he made a much smaller version of it. And this is the Christian Beliefs, 20 basic Christian beliefs every Christian should know. And while this one is like the deep dive plunge, this is if you want to skim the top. This is more my speed anyway. So that's where we're coming from. And Wayne Grudem is one of the heaviest hitters when it comes to the pillars of our faith and laying out basic Christian principles and doctrine. So that's where we're going to be today. Where we're talking about today is we're asking the question, who is God? Who is God? This is a pretty heavy question to ask, and it's a weighty topic to dive into, but we're going to try our best. While there's probably 24 different things that we could talk about, no doubt hundreds of things, but probably like some mega pillars of who God is, we're going to try to go after 5 of them today. And we may not get through 5, but in this may be multiple weeks of just trying to talk about who God is. But God is the highest source of information about himself. If you want to know something about someone, how many of y'all know you should get it straight from the horse's mouth? I'm not a huge fan about learning from someone else on what they say about someone else whenever the other person is actually in the room. I would like to go straight to them, especially if they have written a pretty big book about who they are, what they've done, their character, their nature, their attributes, the vastness of their mind, their passion, of their heart. We ought to go straight to the horse's mouth and figure out who God is by looking to him as the source. So it just makes sense for all of these things that the higher source of all information about God would be God. It's important that any study of God would look at what God says about himself, which is found in the pages of Scripture. So when we think about what God is, first, number one, we've got to know that God exists. God exists. And in a day and age whenever people don't know whether God exists, or perhaps we're agnostic, or we're atheist, or all truth is relative, that we really want to say, man, there is a God and he exists. Scripture simply assumes that God exists. The very first, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And matter of factly presents God as the creator without any proof of his existence. There's no proof that we need to even say. We're just all just going to assume and believe this moment of the statement that God exists. Scripture also tells us that all persons everywhere have a deep and inner sense that God exists. That they are his they are his creatures, and that he is their creator. In Romans 1:19, Paul writes that even the wicked, they have a sense that has been plain to them because God has shown it to them that God exists. How about this? The knowledge of God that Paul's referring to here in Romans chapter 1 can be clearly perceived in the things that have been made, Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says. Every created thing gives evidence to God. But human beings even more so, because we've been made in the same image as God. We give the most evidence of God's existence and the most evidence of God's character in the form of man that's been made in the same image as this God. So therefore we believe. So belief in God is not just a blind faith. It is based on evidence that we have found in the world and in the Word of God. Number two, I believe this one. God is knowable. He reveals himself. Not only does he exist, but we can actually get to know this God. He exists in such a way that he will reveal himself so that we personally can know him. We can know about him from what he tells us about himself in the pages of Scripture. Scripture tells us God is love in 1 John 4:8, or God is light in 1 John 1:5, or God is spirit, John 4:24, or God is righteous in Romans 3:26. We get to know about God. Not only can you get to know about God, but you get to know God personally. You might ask, let's say that you would ask me, do you know Michael Jordan? And I would say, well, I know about Michael Jordan. And let me tell you all the things that I know about him. I know that Michael Jordan played for the Chicago Bulls, that he won 6 NBA championships, that he wore number 23, that he was 6.5 feet tall, that he played for North Carolina, he was the player of the year, he was the rookie of the year. I can tell you all about Michael Jordan, but I don't know Michael Jordan. There's a lot of people that might know about God. But God exists in a way that he reveals himself so that we get to know him personally. That I don't just have to have head knowledge about this God, but I get to experience God. That he comes into my world, that he maps out my life, that he brings people in, that he moves pieces to bring blessing, that he opens doors that no man can shut, that he shuts doors that no man can open. He's a supernatural God that's engaged in my life. He's not stoic and disconnected. He's personally involved. And he's big. And he is zeroed in on my life. So there's a big difference between knowing about God and personally knowing God. But we can personally know him. Jesus says eternal life was found in knowing him and knowing the only true God who sent him. That's John 17, verse 3. In Jeremiah 9, 24, God says, let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and that he knows me. He's a God that can be known. Number three, God is omniscient. God is this God that knows everything. 1 John 3:20 says, God knows everything. Or Psalm 147:5 says, his understanding is beyond measure. There's no ruler system to put to the mind of God and say, this is how much you know or how much you understand. There's no quiz that we could give God that he would not perfectly ace the quiz. He's not going to sit in history class and we're going to teach him something new. We're not going to talk about science and say, look at our new discoveries. He's going to be like, you're just now figuring that out. I did that millennia ago. Oh my gosh, come on, let me show you more. There's nothing that we can reveal to God that he does not already know. The Bible would even say this, that he knows your thoughts while they're still afar off. And he knows every word before it's on your lips. He already knows. His mind is past finding out. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, that your thoughts are not my thoughts, that your ways are not my ways, even as the heavens are above the earth. And I don't know how far that is, but it's a long way. So are your thoughts and your ways so much higher than mine. The mind of God, what are we dealing with here? I mean, he is the biggest nerd ever. And he knows. He knows it all. And not because he had to go to a book and learn it from someone else. Because all things were flowing out of the mind of God. All creation came from the mind of God. God was not dumb on a thing. God did not have to go to school and get degrees. God knew all. Everything is flying out of his mind. He knows the emotions that you're feeling right now. He knows the thoughts that you have. He knows the ill will that you hold towards someone else. He knows that you were broken when you lost last night. He knows those tiny little rubs in our life. He knows those secret sins that we try to keep hidden. He knows it all. We live in the light before him. We live like we're naked before him all the time. He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from him. And Psalm 139, verse 6 says, God's knowledge is too wonderful for us. It is so high that we cannot even attain it. And Psalm 139, verses 17 through 18, if we could count God's thoughts, we would find them greater in number than the pieces of sand on all of the sand shores. Think about this. That's estimated that there are 10,000 grains of sand in one fistful of sand. And it says that, God, your thoughts outnumber the grains of sand on the earth. How many fistfuls are there? We would used to go to Lake Michigan, and we would go to the dunes. Guys, dunes that would go past our balcony. Dunes that would go up to the ceiling. How many fistfuls of sand are there? There's 10,000 thoughts. There's 10,000 thoughts. There's 10,000 thoughts. Every country is wrapped in a beach, okay? I mean, there's a lot of sand. That's what the mind of God is like. Here's a thought that he has about this. Here's a thought that he has about government. Here's God's thoughts on medicine. Here's God's thoughts on education. Here's God's thoughts on religion. Here's God's thoughts on marriage. Here's God's thoughts on gender. Here's God's thoughts on economics. How do we even wrap our minds around the mind of God? I mean, we are dealing with an infinite stream. It's an infinite ocean of thoughts. The mind of God. Who are we dealing with here? He knows all actual and, check this out, I want to do a little mind bend. This is some meta here. He knows all actual and all possible things. Things that haven't even happened yet, but they're possible. It didn't happen, but it possibly could have happened. He knows all things that exist and all things that have happened. In Luke 12:7, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. He's like constantly doing subtraction with my hairs on my head. No creature is hidden from the sight of God, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must all give an account, is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. No one is hiding from a God who sees and knows all. Anyone ever figure out like how your mom always knew that you had like snuck out or that you were not at your friend's house or that you were somewhere else? Like, well, hey, mom just knows all. It's a mother's intuition. How about even more so? God, he knows. He knows thoughts that you haven't even had yet because he's, which we'll get to in a minute, but that he's omnipresent. He's the beginning and the end. He is 5 minutes ago and he's 5 minutes yet to come. In 5 minutes, somebody just wave your hand at me because God's already at that moment. He oversees all of time. Okay, somebody watch the clock because most of you are. But in 5 minutes, just wave at me because God's already been in that moment. Time does not limit him in that he lives within the constraints of time. He's an eternal God. He always has been and he always will be. He knows your thoughts even before they're there, the words before they even come out of your mouth. How about this? God fully knows himself. God knows God. Kind of like Kanye loves Kanye. God knows him some God, man. His mind is so God-centered. His heart is so God-centered. He is focused on the glory of God and the goodness of God. He is his one and only aim is to make the glory of God big and to make his name as loud as possible. That's what he is after. God knows himself. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11 say that he fully knows all things. How about this? That he could have done but did not do. Any of y'all knows like, oh, I could have. Oh man, you know what I should have done? And you've played all these things out. God's mind. He knows everything that he has done and he knows everything that he could have done. But he did not do certain things. He knows all of the things that he could have created. Anybody else? That's a big mind. But he did not even create them. But he could have. And he knows all of that stuff as well. He also knows all the possible events that will actually happen. He knows what's going to happen with your kids. He's there. He's in those moments. He knows what's going to happen in your marriage, in your career. He's already there. He knows the events and the results. If some other events had turned out in a different way in history, like sliding doors, like God even knows all of those things. You're thinking, Brock, come on, I need some scripture on that. Great, I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 21, it says this, "Woe to you! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were done in you, if they would have been done in Tyre, or in Sidon, then they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes long ago." Meaning, if I would have done these miracles over here, let me tell you how that would have played out. These people's hearts, they would have turned. And then they would have repented. They would have put on sackcloth and ash and they would have repented. But I didn't. What I did do instead was I did it this way. God knows all the things that could have happened, but maybe he didn't play them out that way. God is always, at all times, fully aware of everything. His knowledge never changes and it never grows. God is not getting smarter. It's not like he needs to learn something, as if God has lack. It's like, man, I'm not really well read on this topic. I need to grow in my understanding. No. God will never grow in wisdom. He is the zenith. He is the apex of wisdom. His mind is beyond us ever figuring out. He is the wisest man ever. He's not going to learn anything new because all things flow from him anyway. How about that? Nothing surprises him. God has never been, whoo, around the corner. Hey, he's like, I already know what's going on. You're already over there. Hey, Brock, I know you're over there, dude. Oh, man, I can never get this guy. He's never been surprised by one of your actions. He's never been surprised by an attitude. He's never been surprised that you weren't awesome in that moment. He's never been surprised that you hit the last second shot. It didn't catch him off guard. He delighted in it. Yeah, man, that's awesome. Oh, that's cool that I played it out like that. Yeah. That was awesome. But he wasn't caught off guard by it. He knows. He knows. Nothing surprises him and nothing is hidden from him. From all of eternity, God has known all things that would happen and all things that he would do. That's pretty cool. That's number three. Number four. Has anybody waved yet? Yeah, there, Aaron. Thanks. Yeah, it's been 5 minutes. God was already there, man, and he knew Aaron was going to be the one. How cool. Cindy, you also. Number four, God is independent. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get past this one. This one is so cool. It makes me want to do this. I just do that when I get really excited. God's independence means that he doesn't actually need anything or anything in creation for anything. There's no need in God. There's no lack in God. God doesn't need something to fulfill him. God didn't create man because he was bored. God wasn't sitting up in a big black hole and thinking, man, I am bored to death. Jesus, you're kind of boring. Holy Spirit, you're lame. I look in the mirror and golly, God. Oh, God. what a loser, man. This is boring. He looks at himself and he's like, yeah, I'm pretty freaking awesome. And he looks at his son. He's like, you're the mere reflection of who I am. You are the personification of God. And it's like they're intoxicated with each other. It's like, whoa, it creates almost this Holy Spirit realm. It's like, whoa, this passion that they have for one another. He had no lack. Like, man, I really need to do something with my time. I'm so bored up here. I need to like spin out this whole creation story to like keep me entertained because I am... There was no need in God. He had no lack, as if something needed to fulfill him. He is fully fulfilled in and of himself. He did not create us because he was lonely. He didn't need something else to love him. He was good. He nothing else sustains him. He has been perfect and he is complete in his happiness and in his fulfillment in his own personal existence. That's so good. Paul says this in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. The God who made the world and everything in it does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. I want to read that again. As if God needed anything. He does not need anything. Since he himself gives you all mankind, he gives you life and breath and everything. How about this? God always was, God always is, God always will be. God was not created. He never came into being. Like, oh, now God existed. God always has existed. Here's a theological term, or even like the idea is called the unmoved mover. Okay, so for example, what would be the unmoved mover? And the person that was unmoved ultimately has to be the most powerful force, to be God. Okay, so for example, the earth is spinning. Well, but that happens because of inertia and because of the galaxies and because of the earth's core and the crust and the tilt of the axis. Okay, well, who put all that into place? Well, because of the Milky Way galaxy and because of how it, you know, okay, well, then, well, let's just keep moving back. Let's just keep moving. Then who spun that one into play? And let's just keep moving. Eventually, it's the unmoved mover that caused all of that to go. That was God. It's what we would call God. He's the unmoved mover. He was not created. He never came into being. The psalmist writes this in Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever that you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So therefore, God is not dependent upon anyone. God is not dependent upon anything. Because he is God, he cannot be dependent upon anyone or anything. If this were the case, then he would cease to be God. Whatever would feed God would then have to be God. Instead, his entire creation is and must be dependent upon him. This is Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. Now, before we think, this is such a bummer. Like, God should need me. God should want me. Like, what do you mean? He doesn't need us. Like, dude, like God should totally need me or something. God is completely independent from having any need that you could possibly bring to him. It's like, oh man, finally, you know. Finally, Carla brought me something. I've been looking for this, you know. No. God is fully content in and of himself. So here's the cool part. Though God is completely independent, he also chooses to give value and significance. He allows us to be important to him. In fact, all of creation glorifies and brings him joy. Here's what's cool. Is God says, I don't need man. It's not like he's going to like give me anything that I don't already have in and of myself. But as I give and I create man, I give him life. Something that I don't need, I'm going to back with all kinds of value that I'm going to put into it. So much so that I'm going to look to my son and I'm going to kill my son to save something I don't need, but I do value. Maybe I'm not saying that right. God doesn't have lack, or he has no lack, he has no need, but here's something that he doesn't need in the form of creation, okay? And here he says this, but he puts a bunch of value in it, and he says, then I'm going to kill a piece of God in the form of my son so that I can redeem back what I already created, and then I can show immense value. So here's what I think about man. Man, unneeded, but extraordinarily loved. Unneeded and extraordinarily loved to the point of the laying down of the son's life. As he says in Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, I created for my glory. Or Zephaniah, it says that God will rejoice over us with gladness. He will exalt over us with loud singing, and he will dance over us. This is Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. God is dancing over your life right now. Is that fun to think about? He's doing backflips over you. Something that he didn't even have to do, but he's pumped about. Like, I love these people. He's singing and dancing and flipping over us. Number five, I made it. I'm going to make it a quick one. God is eternal. Isn't that funny? We're going to make it a quick one, and it's about time. God is eternal. God, being eternal, has no beginning, no end, no succession of events define his being. Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever that you were formed, the earth or the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you have been God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, that God was at work even before the foundations of the world. Revelation 1, 8 says that God has always existed. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come. So because God is eternal, his view of time is radically different than the way that we even view time ourselves. So for example, in Psalm 90, verse 4, it says this, 1,000 years are in his sight, but as a day when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Meaning that all past history to God is as if it just happened. Yesterday was like 1,000 years ago. 1,000 years ago was just like it was yesterday. I've just always existed over all of it. I already am the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's already at the end. He's already in 2025. He's already in 2030. He's all right. Is that mind-blowing? He oversees time. Peter, in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, he affirms this, and he says, with the Lord, 1,000 years is just like a day. It's just like, phew, it just went. But Peter also tells us that sometimes a day seems like it goes on forever. With the Lord, one day as if it's 1,000 years. So taking all of these together, these perspectives, God has a span. He has a different perspective and a view over all of history. We kind of maybe get frustrated in a little season of life. Let me tell you something. God sees the end and he's pumped for you. I'm walking through this situation and man, what a bummer in my health or in my relationships or in my job, all these, and God's like, man, but if you can be seated with me in heavenly places, gosh, you would see it in a whole different light. It's good. It's going to be good. This thing ends in glory. Can I tell you this? Because of God, the best is yet to come. Or might I say this way? The best is always yet to come. Always. Because of this God that we serve. And I'll wrap it with this. He also views brief events, maybe different events that you're going through now. He sees them as if he's fully in this moment, as if it's going to go on forever in the way that we view them. And he also sees all events from their past, from their present, and from their future. He sees them with equal vividness. He sees crystal clear. You know how we say like hindsight is 20/20? God says foresight is 20/20. I see it all. It's not like it's foggy. It's not like I'm confused. No, I see crystal clear what is going to happen in the future. That's a pretty fun reality. We get to worship that God. We get to come into the presence of a God that knows my life and sees it. He's incredibly smart. He has all kinds of thoughts for me. He's powerful. He's always existed. This is the kind of God I get to worship when I walk in here in the morning. And God uses time for his own purpose as he encourages us to seize the day, to count the days, to make our lives count. So here's the deal, church. God is big. God is smart. God is eternal, and God is for you. And I love the fact that we get a God like that, that we get a God that's pretty significant, that's backing your life. What I want to do this morning is close in prayer, and I pray that our minds would be expanded to think about a God, especially when we come into worship. We think about a God, not that I'm bored, but my goodness, do I need to lift my eyes and look at a much bigger God that reigns and rules over the galaxies. I also need to look at every little small situation that I'm walking through in life as if God is reigning and ruling over every minute detail, because he is. He knows it, and he's in it, and he's engaged with us. I'm going to pray here, family, and I just want you just to come into agreement saying, God, I'm going to align my faith with you. I'm going to align my beliefs with your character, with your bigness. I'm going to partner and come into allegiance. Just say, come on, faith, let's believe in a big God. Let's not get overwhelmed by circumstances, but let's know that there's a big God that's reigning and ruling over all of those circumstances. So church family, if you would, just stand with me this morning. And God, we thank you that we serve a big God. We thank you that we worship the God that reigns and rules. We thank you that we worship the God with fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand that's riding a horse that is proclaiming his victory. A God that's firmly seated on his throne. A God that's never nervous, that's never scared. He's never caught off guard. Our God is never surprised. He is all-knowing. He is the smartest man in the room. He understands your finances. He understands your heart. He understands your spouse and your children. He's got a great plan for those babies. He is for you. He is not against you. This is a God with a crazy passion and purpose for our lives. This is a God that can open doors that no man can shut. This is a God that is backing us. This is a God that doesn't need us, but extravagantly loves us. And Jesus, we just worship and celebrate you this morning. In your mighty, powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.